Welcome to Perspective Transformation with Marty and Friends. Whether you're looking for encouragement, practical training, or clear focus, you'll want to grab a notebook, as today's guest trainer shares rock-solid strategies you can implement starting immediately. Sponsored by WomenSpeakers.com, here's your host, Marnie Swedberg.
Hey, welcome. This is Marnie Swedberg. Excited to have you with us today. We have a wonderful guest today, Athena Dean Holtz, and we're going to be talking about Proclaim, how to take an idea from the inside of your head out into the world. During this hour, and you want to grab a notebook or something to jot some notes down on, you're going to discover how to move a book idea from imagination toward reality. Also, how to begin thinking about being a writer, even if you don't think of yourself as a writer yet. Why speakers can write great books. A wonderful way to repurpose existing content from speeches or blogs. What to do when you get stuck. In other words, I've written a rough draft, but now I don't know what to do. Help, help, help. Also, the actual steps in taking a story through to publication. Athena Dean Holtz is a publisher, speaker, author, blogger, award-winning podcaster, pastor's wife, and spiritual abuse overcomer. She is the founder and creator of Redemption Press and the Proclaim Conference, which is coming in February. And you can learn more about that at shewritesandspeaks.com. I'm excited now to welcome you to the stage with me here. Welcome, Athena.
Yes, so good to be here with you, Marnie.
Well, and it's great to have you here. And you actually, not only are we talking about Proclaim today, how to get your message out, but you actually have a conference coming up in February. We're going to be talking about that a little bit and just encourage you guys to check this out. So I think when you are the director, the founder and director of Redemption Press. Right. So did you start like with your own book or how did that get going?
Well, that actually got going 35 years ago. Wow. When I was in full-time ministry with my Vietnam veteran husband. Mm-hmm. And we were working with veterans and their wives, and we needed a resource. And this was like 86. PTSD wasn't really even a word. Right. And so we had created some materials that would help family members, the veterans themselves. But nobody would publish it. None of the big publishers were like, no thanks. And there's still a lot of stigma around veterans, back then. Yeah. And so finally, we met a guy who said, what? Your manuscript is a great idea, but it needs a complete rewrite. So I'll help you rewrite it. I'll help you get a cover, design it, lay it out, and I'll get you 10,000 copies for $1 a piece. This was in 1986. That was a lot of money for us being in full-time ministry, but God provided the money. I mean, from one person out of the blue, and we went through those books in 2 years and we're almost out. And we met in the green room at the 700 Club, getting ready to go on with Sheila Walsh. We met a guy who said, you know what? I think I can sell that to a publisher. And we're like, good, because we didn't save any of the money. We lived on that money. And he did. He sold it to Multnomah Press at the time. And they sold another 40,000 copies over the next 8 years. And that's really what got me into publishing, was that experience of a successful self-publishing experience. That turned into, it just has reached so many lives, that one book.
What was the name of that one?
It was called Nam Vet, Making Peace with Your Past. And it has sold now, as of this date, 250,000 copies. Wow. And there's 1 million copies in print because they keep giving it, to organizations that give it away. They print it and give it away.
So fantastic.
And
you started with self-publishing, and I want you guys to hear that. So not say, I can't do that. That's not equal or whatever. It's wherever God has you, that's where you start.
Well, we needed product. We were going to all these events, and we didn't really care what name was on the spine. That did not matter. We needed books. Yeah. And so that was our motivation. And I've, over the years, helped many authors use self-publishing to take that first step, so that they can begin to build the kind of platform they need to be able to get a traditional publisher.
Right. Love that. So how many books have you written now?
I have written four.
Okay. Yeah.
But my first one, you know, I always consider myself a speaker. I'm not a writer. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know how to write, but I know how to speak. And so my first manuscript, I just wrote it like I was talking to you across the table with our coffee.
Beautiful.
All sorts of passive voice. And, you know, I didn't know any of the craft of writing at all. Mm-hmm. And so I wrote it like that. It was 96 pages. It was an amazing story. And so I was on lots of TV and radio when I published it myself.
Yeah.
I'm so embarrassed by the cover. Oh, it was so bad. I mean, I did my own cover. And it was called Consumed by Success, Reaching the Top and Finding God Wasn't There. And, you know, after I realized I didn't get the editing I needed, I didn't get any of what I needed.
Yeah.
And still, I mean, it had legs just because it was a message that no one else was talking about. And so... when I actually had a professional help me go through the entire thing and rewrite it and add fiction, add techniques like dialogue and description and, you know, show instead of tell.
Yeah.
When you're a speaker, a lot of times you're just telling a story, but that doesn't go over to white, you know, black ink on white paper. It doesn't translate.
Yeah.
And so I learned through that process of rewriting how much I didn't know, number one, but how much I am such a better writer by going through that process of being coached through a rewrite.
Right.
I wouldn't trade it as embarrassing as it is.
And you know, when you said that you just wrote it like you were talking to someone across the table, that is the way to start, you guys. That is where you start. Very personable. And
don't publish from there.
And then we get some help. Love that. Yeah. So we've got a listener out here who has an idea going around in her head. She's like, I don't know where to begin. Yeah. Where does she start?
Well, that's a great place to start and to actually get some professional input on what genre would you want to do it? You might be thinking memoir, but it might be more of a devotional or a devotional journal, or it might be a Christian living. There's so much that is kind of a foundation that, like we do, one of the things we do is a boot camp. It's an online virtual boot camp where we take women who want to write. And they have an idea up here, but they don't know what to do with it. We take them through a process of figuring out what genre, who their audience is, you know, and really work through, okay, so if you're going to tell that story, how would you tell it? And work with a coach figuring out kind of your annotated table of contents so you actually have a roadmap to actually write it. So any sort of professional insight and feedback and help developing it is so important because, you know, if you haven't been to a lot of writers' conferences and you haven't learned all the stuff there is to learn, you really don't know what you don't know. And it'll leave you feeling like, well, you'll be vulnerable to the enemy saying, who are you to write that? You have nothing to say. No one wants to read that.
Right.
Because you're unsure of yourself because you don't have someone to help.
Yeah. One of the first things I do when I've got a book idea is I write the book proposal because that forces me to get crystal clear about who my audience is and what the competition is, what's out there that's working, what's not working, all of that research that goes into that book proposal. So that's a great way to start. And if you don't know what that is, I know, do you guys have one over at Redemption Press that you can just download? Cause I know most
publishers. We actually do. We have it's what we call our author's questionnaire because they're not necessarily doing the whole proposal.
Right.
Like we're trying to get an agent, but it is helping do those things of define your audience and who your competition is. And
it's kind of the same principle. I mean, I use the same principle when I'm doing a big project, like when I'm coming up on the summit now in January. I start with a mission vision statement. And then I go to my success plan, which is like, who are all my potential partners? What are the opportunities here? What are the weaknesses? All that kind of goes in. If you start there and then work on your book from there, I feel like you have such a better idea of where you're going instead of just wandering around in a lot of rewrites and all
Absolutely.
That.
Absolutely. And the one thing most people don't think to do is to really figure out who that person is that needs to read what you have to say.
Right.
Because it's not the whole world.
Right.
You have to really get it down to that one person who needs to hear what you have to say and really just figure out who that is. Are they a single mom? Are they someone who lost their husband? Are they someone with a special needs child? Are they, you know, someone who's gone through abuse and never had a chance to really walk through the healing process? I mean, figure out who that person is. And that'll help you as you begin to kind of chart your path.
Yeah, for sure. But what about the gal who's listening and she's like, well, I have a book in me, but I think somebody else better write it because I'm not a writer. What would you want her to do before she did that? Now, it's still a possibility to have a ghostwriter, but before she just goes straight there, what would you say to her?
Well, I would say that it is always worth brainstorming with someone who is a professional or writer or editor and saying, here's the story I want to tell. Right. And here's my skills. Like, okay, I wrote this article over here, or I do this blogging over here, or I do a little micro blogging on my Facebook page, you know? Right. So that person that's working with you has kind of an idea of your voice and your style of writing. And, you know, you cannot be a writer at all and still have someone who knows how to pull it out of you, coach you through the writing process. Now, yes, if you want to pay $20,000 or $30,000 to have a ghostwriter, and I've known some ghostwriters that charge double or triple that. So I'm lowballing it there. But, you know, you may be that person that says, I don't have time. I would rather raise the money and have somebody do it for me. And that's certainly doable, but it's not the only option if you don't feel like you're a writer or called to be a writer and you don't really want to go learn all that stuff. There are other ways to do it.
Yeah, for sure. Now, okay, so I host womenspeakers.com. So I know a lot of you girls out there are speakers. And a lot of you recognize, many of you already have books. But some of you don't have a book yet and you're like, well, I don't want to write. I'm a speaker. I've written 13 books, but I'm not an author. Okay. I am a speaker. I love to speak and I write when I have to. That's what I say. I write when I have to. So when I keep getting the same question over and over and again, how do you do that? How do you do that? And I can't find a book that explains how I do it. Then I write that book. And I never consider myself a writer, really, even though I am published and all that. I feel like it's not my main place to be. But I always say to speakers, if you can give them everything you've got in 2 hours or even a weekend, you're probably not supposed to be sharing on the platform. You need a lot of depth, really, to bring a lot of value to a stage, a platform. You need a lot of depth. And usually what's going to happen is they're going to want to take more of you home. Somehow they want to take you home. And so providing them with a book that goes deeper into it, with the time for them to do reflection, and that really helps. Mm-hmm. But a lot of speakers like me say, but I'm not a writer. How do I start?
Well, that is a great question because we've kind of developed in just everything that we do to help authors. I have come out of things that I've needed as a speaker this ain't my gig. I don't want to go learn all about dangling participles and all that stuff. I don't care. I don't care about that. I just want my book. And so I've done, you know, the writing it not very well and then being coached through rewriting. But another way is what's called a cooperative rewrite, a speaker is a content creator, storyteller. Right. You have content. It's just spoken. It's the spoken word. And so taking that and repurposing it, you can't necessarily transcribe it and call it good, because it doesn't work that way. You have to do more with it. Yeah. But to be able to take that content from your speaking or from your teaching or from, you know, a series that you did or a weekend retreat, whatever that is, taking that and then actually working with a writing coach, editor who can help fill in the gaps, help take it from some passive voice to more active voice and more active writing to get you to fill in more of the storyline and add more to that, but to see what you have and to see the nuggets that you have and help you repurpose it into something that actually can go deeper than you're able to spend time with your audience and actually be a product on the table in the back of the room or available on your website that is going to take them the next step that you didn't have time to take them.
Mm-hmm. Right. And I always say the best investment you'll ever make is into editing.
It is so true. Editors are our friends.
They are gold. They take a book from good to great. That's what I say. Or even from bad to good. You know what I mean? It's like they take it to a whole different playing field.
Absolutely. And I mean, I'll never forget someone when I finally did that rewrite of that first book and I was at the Christian Booksellers Association. I was getting ready to sign. And of course, I'm standing there going, what if nobody lines up? Right. What if nobody wants to read my book? I mean, the enemy says that to everybody. Right. Let me just say. Right. But someone came by and said, oh, this is such a good book. And I'm like, oh, let me tell you, I have a great editor and she makes me look way better than my natural capabilities are.
Right.
And it's true. And especially when they can retain your voice.
Yes.
I have unfortunately met a lot of speakers who have hired editors that weren't necessarily that gifted and that mm-hmm. well trained to really be able to retain their voice in mm-hmm. all the work that has to happen to rewrite the content to repurpose it. And so that is a gift. Not every editor has that gift. So that's an important thing to make sure stays.
Right. Right. And we maybe already touched on this, but is there a specific way you would say to repurpose your existing speeches and blogs?
I would say to take a two or three hours with a coach that is as good at that. I mean, there's mm-hmm. coaches that are better at that or better at children's books or better they all have their sweet spot mm-hmm. and really just spending a couple hours with someone who can help you see, because you're too close.
Right.
You're in the forest, can't see the trees, that whole thing. And to be able to get some clarity on, so what's the red thread here that we could pull together from these different topics that you've written about and really help kind of
fashion
it so that you know mm-hmm. where to go. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Right. So let's talk about what to do when you get stuck. You're like part of the way there, can't get the rest of the way there. I don't know quite what to do next.
Well, I probably am going to sound like a broken record, but really working with a coach earlier rather than later makes so much more sense because it's so easy to get stuck and it's so easy to try and, you know, you're writing away and then you're going, oh, that doesn't sound good. So you back it up and you start that sentence over. You try and edit while you're writing. Bad idea. It will just stall you completely if you try to edit what you're writing. Like, just write it. But then once you've got some content and you've got some different things that you feel like God wants you to put into print, then actually have a coach look at what you have and give you kind of weigh in. Well, this, you know what, you need to do a little more storytelling here, add some dialogue here. Let's restructure this so it's a little more devotional, you know, whatever. But to get that feedback as soon as you can have the idea, if you're halfway through, go and get it then. And so rather than struggling with finishing it because you really don't know where you're going because you haven't had that feedback.
Yeah.
And so let me just say, not your mom. Not your mom. and not your sister or your English teacher
and not
elementary school.
And not somebody who just says, oh, that's so great.
Oh, you wrote a book. You're amazing. You know?
Right. So we are a little bit of a broken record here, but I want to just hunker down on this thought for a minute because some of you have never actually invested into coaching in your whole life. You've never thought it's for you. And you're like, yeah, well, I've never really done it that way. But I want you to share your experience in a minute with a coach, Athena. And I'm going to just say that for me, what happens, and when I coach, I use a little diagram. So it's a circle and there's arrows around and the diagram goes like this. You're going along, going along, going along, going along, and then you get stuck. And then you are literally stuck. You're not making progress. You're not feeling great. You're not going forward until you get unstuck, at which point you start going along again. And that's how the cycle works. And you keep getting stuck. And because if you're never getting stuck, it's because you're never trying something new. You're never actually having a new thought. You're just regurgitating the same thought over and over again. Then you don't get stuck. But if you're actually trying to do something new, trying to learn something, you're going to get stuck. And the faster you can get off unstuck into progress again, the faster you can get out into the world what God's put in your heart. Absolutely. For me, having coaches, and I have specific coaches, a YouTube coach, a writing coach, a business coach. I mean, you have these coaches and they're available to you and you go and you get the help you need when you need it so you can get unstuck and keep going. And it changes everything.
It does. It gives you someone to be accountable to.
That?
If you don't have that, you know, that's a big barrier right there because you know, life, you know how life is, you know, the enemy's going to come in and try and distract you and keep you from doing it and discourage you and every, you know, every way he can. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we need that professional perspective that's going to help walk us through the changes that we don't see because it's too hard for us to see it. We're too close to it.
Yeah. Tell me about an experience with a coach that made things different for you.
Well, when I had the coach help me with that first book, rewrite everything. That was one thing. But then when I had another coach who actually said, okay, right here, you're not going deep enough. Tell me more about this right here.
Yeah.
And it became this process of discovering where I was holding back and not being authentic and not really being as vulnerable as I needed to be in order for my reader to go, whoa, she understands me. She's going to, I should listen to this.
Mm-hmm. Right. So it's not only what you know you're stuck on. The coach actually, and that's when you think about a sports coach, that's actually what they do. They watch you. They see your potential and what you're doing wrong, and they help you correct that. And that's the value of it. There's just so much there. And I always say God loves body life. And a lot of times, I mean, new authors, especially first-time authors, will say, God gave me this. I don't want anybody to touch it. And I just say to them, God loves body life, and he wants you to hold this and everything else you have in an open hand and let him do with it what he wants to do. And it's I get that it came from God, and we love our stories.
Well, but we don't know how to make it better. Yeah. And that's where we need that. And I would also submit that a coach and a community. And we have a She Writes For Him tribe where these women all come together. They, you know, they sharpen each other. They pray for each other. Yeah. When someone's struggling, they go, you know, this happened today. I'm so discouraged and I keep having these thoughts. And then someone else goes, I've been feeling the exact same way. And all of a sudden it's like, whoa, okay, we're in a battle here. We need, you know, so locking arms and so that, and I know you have a community like that already with all the speakers that you minister to and empower. Same idea when you're writing, you want to be in a community of writers that are, you know, kind of where you're at and on the journey so you can kind of really celebrate together and cry together and pray together. And you know, it's just, it's amazing.
encourage each other to go on. Yep. Okay, so you've got five steps for us for an author to go from idea all the way to getting it done. And of course, we could break these down into dozens, I'm sure. But what are the five main steps?
Well, the five categories that we kind of look at in the process of taking it from it up here to into the marketplace would be first develop. And you have to develop your message. And that has to be developed, whether it's from a thought or a, you know, something scribbled down or a manuscript that's already written poorly, or maybe just, you know, or maybe even just some content from other places that needs to be repurposed. Just that development process of working with coaches and editors and really making sure that it's going to do what God wanted it to do, and it's going to do it with excellence. So that's always the first step. And then the whole design aspect, because unfortunately these days it's too easy to go to Amazon and just do your own cover like I did and do your own thing without editing and, you know, punch the button and you're an author. And then, you know, you get reviews that aren't great because it looks self-published or, you know, all of those things that can come into play that has happened over the last 35 years that I've been in publishing, that it's way too easy to get published without, because no one's there to say, whoa, it's not ready. Just like that guy said to us 35 years ago, it's not ready. And I needed someone to tell me that. So just the whole idea of design, you know, once you've got it developed, then the design process of having a cover that doesn't look self-published, having the layout that looks professional.
It took a lot of, I think, humility for you to say after selling 10,000 copies, you're so right, we need help with this book. Right. So, okay. A lot of authors haven't sold any copies and they don't want help with their book. You sold 10,000 and you realize I need help with my book. So what is that in your head that got you to say, yes, thank you for the help?
I think it's, you know, early on after I became a Christian and kind of was shallow for a while, I learned a prayer, Lord, show me my heart as you see it. And that prayer produced so much fruit because all of a sudden I started seeing my weak areas, not to dog myself, but to realize as a leader, I need other people with these strengths. I don't want to be that person. I don't want to be have that. I don't have it and I don't want to go learn it, but I need to surround myself with people who have those strengths. Yeah. And so it was the same with the editing. It's like, I am not a detail person. I don't want to. I mean, I'm not going to learn that at this age. So let me get the people who know what they're doing to come alongside.
Yeah. Okay. So develop design. What's number three?
The next one is really the idea of delivering that baby, whether it's, you know, an audio book, an ebook, a print book, you know, all the different aspects that you can have to deliver the message, you know, getting those all formulated and available, you know, with the ISBN number and getting it copyrighted, so that there's a, you know, it's protected and all of that. Mm-hmm. And then, so that's kind of the deliver umbrella. Yep. And then distribute. That it would be number four, because, you know, it's great to have books out of the trunk of your car, but if you don't have them available where you could say, you know, go to the Barnes and Noble in town, you can get my book there, or you could go on Amazon and you could get it, or you could go to walmart.com, or you could go to christianbook.com. You know, not that you're not going to make much off those kinds of sales because they get a big discount, but you still want them to be available in all those different places where people buy books.
Yeah.
So that's the whole distribution aspect of getting it into those channels, which means having it be returnable, because if it's not returnable, bookstores are not going to want to buy it. And so there's some key things, but as a kind of a overarching distribute is really making sure it's there for people to get their hands on. Yeah. So, and I always say as many different channels as you can get is a good thing.
Yeah. And you, I mean, I think that another thing that stops people is, you know, I don't want to give too much of the margin away, or I don't feel like it should be here or there. And I just say, you know, Jesus is everywhere you go. Jesus is everywhere I go. He goes with me wherever I go. And I remember one time, this is kind of an off the wall example, but one time I was called to go walk through a casino and pray. And we lived in a very small town and everybody knew me and I wouldn't go in there typically. And I was really concerned about it. I was like, I don't know, what if, you know, one of the kids sees me or, you know, thinks, you know, just thinks that if I'm going in there, it'd be okay for them to go in there too. And God just really comforted my heart. And he said, you know, Marnie, everywhere I go, my banner over you is love. Mm. And so you go where I tell you to go. And my very first book, I remember being really aghast. It came out with St. Martin's Press, which is a secular publisher.
Right.
And when it came out in their book, it was right across the page from a book about AC/DC, which was a very hard rock, you know, acid right. band. And it was like, wow, I can't stand that my book is here. And God's like, but everywhere you are, I am. And so I just want you to just know that if God moves you, moves your book, moves your video, whatever it is, into a sphere that you weren't expecting or that doesn't feel particularly comfortable for you, just remember that Jesus came from heaven. It wasn't particularly comfortable for him. And he was never with his peers on earth. I mean, his peers were God and the Holy Spirit. He just was stuck with us the whole time.
I know it, but what I love the point you're making, because it going into some place where you don't necessarily feel comfortable, or you don't, you know, it's not a Christian worldview or whatever. Right. That is the great open door for exactly. you to be able to shine your light, you know,
light shine. Exactly. So, exactly. So, so then what comes after distribution?
The last one is declare. And that is where, you know, you have to create a demand. I don't care who you publish with. Mm-hmm. You still have to, whether you do a launch on social media or you do a big, you know, a string of in-home like parties where people say, do a meet the author and they invite all their friends over and you have your books there and you get to read from it and tell your story mm-hmm. and sell books. And, you know, I mean, there's so many different ways. Yeah. of declaring, whether it's a virtual event or, you know, a digital magazine or there's lots of different now, especially in the last, mm-hmm. you know, 2 years, right. so much, huge. We've developed so much more yeah. that because, mm-hmm. you know, of the pandemic. So just really looking at every opportunity, a podcast, mm-hmm. a YouTube channel, all the different ways that you can get exposure that makes sense for your giftings and your message. Mm-hmm. So it's not, you don't do it all, but you very intentionally, deliberately pick those things that God kind of is saying, yeah, here, start here.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, what's funny is that most writers, when they're new, haven't been through the process, they believe that the first D is the only D. Just develop that baby, write it, get it polished, get it edited. And there it goes. It's just the first of the four, five.
And yeah, I mean, I've watched over 35 years, you know, publishers used to send authors on tours to sign their book, do book signings. Mm-hmm. I mean, unless you're running for president, ain't going to happen.
Right.
So you are, as the author, expected to mm-hmm. do a book launch, to go out and speak, to do all those things to sell books. Mm-hmm. So you don't get out, you don't ever really, I mean, maybe, you know, I can't do a whole blanket statement. There might be some people out there that have written something that is very niche that a publisher will just say, I'm going to take this and we're going to handle everything. That is not, that's very the rare. Exception to right. the right. rule.
Very rare. Yeah. Well, let's just, as we close here, let's talk a little bit about Redemption Press. So what kind of a publisher are you and what kind of books do you publish?
All right. Well, we are a hybrid publisher, and that is where we take the best out of independent publishing, where you retain the rights, you retain the profits, you retain the control, all of those things, but also the author funds the project. And then we take the best of traditional publishing, at where we don't take everyone. We actually are selective about who we publish. And then we make you go through a very rigorous levels of editing and coaching to make sure the product is really the best that it can be. So we kind of marry those two models together. Yeah. And then okay, so the second question was about the event, right?
Okay, let's move on. Let's go ahead. Yeah, no, that's great. So that was the answer to the first question was about Redemption Press. And then the second one, you've got this Proclaim conference coming up and in February. Now, I think that this is the first time you've done exactly this, right?
Yes.
So where did this idea come from?
Well, first of all, last year, 2021, in March, when all my speaking engagements at all the Christian Writers Conferences were all canceled.
Right, right.
I'm like, okay, what are we going to do? Hey, yeah. I'm going to just email all my friends from the last 35 years and ask them if they want to do a virtual conference.
Yep.
And so from the time I sent the email to the time we actually had the conference was 5 weeks. We had Liz Curtis Higgs was our keynote, our first keynoter, Carol Kent, Mary DeMuth. And we had 450 women come and just soak up 3 days. It was amazing.
Beautiful.
And so that was kind of our launch. We pivoted into virtual. Yeah. So we did a marketing conference at the end of that year. And then we did another this year. We had Sheila Walsh and another, I can't even remember who we had. But it was amazing who we had this year. And talking about writing your hard story redemptively. And so the virtual thing has been our gig now with all the boot camps and all the She Writes and all that. And then God just, we were a pretty major sponsor at the last Christian Product Expo and had so much activity from retailers in our booth and so much good stuff going on with our authors there that it was like, you know what? We need to do an in-person because we've been waiting for the right time to do an in-person.
Yep.
And the people at Munce said, would you do a conference just the few days before the winter show?
Nice.
And that's how it developed. So it kind of runs right into a 2.5-day Christian Product Expo. So people that come to the conference to learn can actually see what it's like to go to a bookseller's conference.
Yeah, I love that. Love that. So you guys can, there's links below. You can do that or else you can go over to shewritesandspeaks.com, learn more about that. Athena, thank you so much for being here. This was great. You shared so much good stuff and really helpful for someone who's thinking about writing, but not quite there yet.
Well, thank you so much, Marnie. It has been a delight as longtime Facebook friends to finally meet.
That was so fun. All right. Well, you have a wonderful rest of your day. And thanks, you guys, for joining us. So fun to have you here. I hope you have a great rest of your day.